things that I appreciate so much about the eldership here at Henderson is their desire to communicate with the congregation, let the membership know what's being planned and what's going on in different areas of work. I believe that's a part of the teaching program, and I appreciate their attitude toward it. Tonight, for the next little while, Brother Ron Butterfield is going to tell us about some plans that are ahead and some work that has been done relative to our Bible study program. Bible study program is a very important part of our work. All of our elders are involved to some extent and aware of what's going on. Two of our elders, Brother Williams, Brother McKenzie, are especially involved in the Bible study program, assisted by several deacons and many, many teachers. Brother Ron Butterfield coordinates and leads our Bible study program. Most of the work that he does is behind the scenes. You don't see a lot of the things that he's doing and the hours that are put in. But I see more of them than most of you do, and I appreciate his being a part of our team and the work that he's doing. For the next several minutes, he's going to be telling us about some of the things that are ahead in our Bible school program. And then after he is finished, I will talk for a few minutes about teaching and fit in. I told him when he gets through, I'll finish up. So whatever he leaves, I'll try to cover some of it at the end.
You can already tell that I'm a school teacher because I've got to get my overhead projector out and get my notes out. I've got to share with you a couple things. This is going to be hard for me to see, but that's fine. I'm going to try to keep my head out of the picture as well. This week begins the fourth year that Edna and I have been in Henderson. And one of the reasons that we chose to... hey, that's excellent.
That's a great idea. But the mic's over here. Let me just work this.
I appreciate that anyway, Gary. We're flexible. This may be the last week I'm in Henderson. But this is the beginning of the fourth year, and one of the reasons that we chose to be a part of this just fantastic congregation is because of the leadership of the elders and the foresight that the elders have and the followership of the people that are in the pews. And we were convinced that this wasn't a church where it was composed primarily of spectators, and it's a spectator sport, but as a family, it was an initiative, it was an involvement. It was something where we'd work together and grow together. And one of the concerns that we had, having come out of upstate New York, where we were very busy with the church for a very long time, was to kind of get swallowed up in a large congregation. And anything larger than 36 people, counting the babies, is large when you're in that kind of a field, was a concern that we had. And like all of you have other choices, easy choices within short distances, to be involved with other fine congregations. There's a uniqueness about the congregation in Henderson in that, among a number of the unique things, in that it's kind of like putting fish in a bowl where lots and lots of people happen to see what's occurring. And as a result, I think the opportunities for each of us as members of this particular fellowship have are unique and extend far beyond these four walls and the four walls of our lives. And we wanted to be a part of that. I thought I was in trouble, quite frankly, because a year after we came, which was 2 years ago, during the summer, one of the women that answered the phone in the office said, "You have an appointment," and that's not uncommon, but what was uncommon was that one of the deacons, one of the elders, and Ben Flatt want to see you, and it's important. And I, quite frankly, didn't have any earthly idea of what they wanted to see me about, and I couldn't figure out what I'd done, you know. I thought, you know, I can't figure this out. And when we got in and one of them shut the door, it concerned me a little bit more, and Ben set me at ease. He said, "Ron, you aren't in trouble." And I kind of relaxed a little bit. When you've got a guy who in the pulpit looks like he's 7 feet tall, when he comes in and sits in your chair in the office with an elder on one side and a deacon on the other, he looks about the size of a Goliath, and I didn't have a sling or a stone. I was just doing a little bit of internal quivering and praying. But they presented to me an opportunity that took me a month to think about and to say yes. I was very hesitant to say yes. I was very pleased and flattered to be asked. Didn't know if I could rise to the occasion. Still don't quite know if I can. But I'm convinced with the staff that we have that we can accomplish the goals that that particular committee brought to me from the elders in terms of coordinating the Bible school program. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible school program at Henderson has been excellent for years. It has had just dynamite teachers for decades. Some of the people who have led in this particular position in the past are people who I would study the things that they wrote to learn more about how to direct the Bible school program. It's kind of an awesome responsibility. But very quickly, let me present to you some ideas and some facts and some directions that that the education committee and the elders are supporting would like to take me, take the leadership in this and to present to you. And we elicit your understanding, your cooperation, and your support in what we're going to be attempting to do. Now, one of the first things, kind of a starting point, is that one of the first verses that I can remember being quoted in this congregation and over across the street at the university was the charge that if we're going to be Christians, there are certain ways that we need to conduct business. And that would certainly include the Bible school program. When I talked to the committee about taking on the responsibility of coordinating the Bible school program, I said that I'd like to have the job if I take it for 3 years at least. I will not accept it if I don't have the job for 3 years. Because the first year, I'm going to simply look, and I'm going to observe what's occurring. And I don't want to make any kind of changes that are not necessary. There's no sense in fixing something that's not broken. And one of the things that I very quickly found out, that we had a leadership system within the Bible school program that was working then and is working now. And we have Linda Helm, who's responsible for the very young ones, from the time that a person is able to be left by mom in one of the classes downstairs. Sometimes when that baby really doesn't even remember, doesn't really know what's occurring, we want to start those babies out in a Bible school program so they can never remember when they started. Like most of you cannot remember when you took your first step. We want the children in this congregation to be such a vital part of the Bible school program that they cannot remember when they started. And Linda Helm is responsible for coordinating that part of it. For a number of years, Nancy Smith was coordinating the next, but we gave her a different assignment, and Sheila Hesserode, and Sheila's about halfway back here, assumed the responsibility of coordinating the elementary school program. And we put, with her asking, we put Nancy Smith into the Teachers Center, which is a program that we're going to be saying more about in the future. We want a lot of folks to get involved with that. And then recently, when the deacons were reassigned tasks, Randy was here a minute ago on the platform. Randy Brown is responsible for coordinating the Bible school program for the junior, senior, high school age students. And those are the responsibilities. Then we have a tremendous number of teachers. At any given week, we have about 60 to 70 people teaching either on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, or the class that we have on Sunday night, or the special occasions. And just for a second, just to demonstrate how many people that we have in this congregation who are actively involved, I'd like to have the supervisors, and I'd like to have the existing teachers, and those people who have recently taught the last couple of years. I'd like to have all of you stand for just a second. And that's people all over the auditorium. Thank you. And then we have a number of people to teach adult classes that didn't stand, and we have an entire array of people like that. The curriculum of what we're teaching needs to be comprehensive and needs to go from the time that a person is in the cradle to the time that they go through graduation. And that's the first step that we're taking. Now, one of the things that I've observed is that there's a need for balance. Now, this isn't criticizing what we've had, but in some classes we've taught Moses, and the youngster goes to another class, and we teach Moses, and he goes to another class, and we teach Moses, and we go to another class, and we teach Moses. And Moses is a real good guy. And one of these days, in an adult class, I want to teach Moses. I want to teach a course called The Acts of Moses. But sometimes Moses is not the only character in the entire Old Testament, the entire New Testament. We need to have some balance. And in the program that we've had some feast and we've had some famine. And we need to balance that out so that when a youngster in the program is youngster-centered, that when that youngster's in a cradle, and then when they come on up into the threshold of adulthood, into junior high and high school, that there's a systematic program that we can present to these students as they come through, so the high school seniors, when they leave the program, have a well-grounded schooling in Bible facts, in Bible attitudes, in Bible behaviors. And we have taken the time over the last 18 months to talk to almost all the classes from the junior high on up through the last 18 months to get input in terms of what that curriculum ought to be. Now, we're keeping as many things as we possibly can. The structure of the Bible school program has been based, and we're talking now not about the adult program. In a couple of years, maybe we'll come back and talk to you about the adult program. But we're talking about the program that takes a baby on up through the threshold of adulthood to high school graduation. And we run through a number of quarters. One of the things, and I'd like for you to listen to this very, very carefully, one of the things, even though we have numbers of people involved in the teaching program, that in the past, in the congregation here, as in many other congregations, when somebody is tapped on the shoulder to teach, they break out in the first line of that first, that second hymn that we sang, ready to suffer. Because it's a death sentence. You have to die or be terminally ill, or you have to move out of the congregation, or have to do something really foolish not to teach anymore, or have enough courage just to say, I quit, I can't stand it. And that's not really an appropriate way to deploy people who are able to teach and who want to teach and feel that it's a very valuable program. One of the things that we want to do, be very candid with you, we need your support. We need to have more people. There are many of you who are able to teach that aren't teaching because you're afraid of the death sentence. And we want that death sentence in terms of never having a relief from teaching to be over. And as a result, through the program, and we're going to focus in just a minute in the junior, senior high school program, then work the other grades, we want people who are able to teach, who are experienced, or who will learn to teach, to volunteer and prepare to teach, so that if you say, I can teach three quarters from now, but I can only teach a quarter, we can accommodate that. Some of you folks are very busy during tax season. Some of you are not in town during the summer. Some of you would rather teach during the summer, but not during the school year. Some of you would very ably be able to teach on Wednesdays, but not Sundays. Some of you would rather teach on Sunday morning and not Wednesday night. And we want to be able to accommodate that kind of utilization of the talent that we have within the congregation, and we can staff all those slots so that when we recruit a person to teach, and they say, I'm willing to teach on quarter three of whatever year that happens to be, they know that when that quarter is over, that they don't have to feel guilty about not teaching the next quarter. Or they might say, I'm willing to teach for two quarters. And we schedule that in, and we can work with that. And when it's over, we put a period at the end of it. We say, hey, that's great. The commitment is for a period of time. And that's something I want you to keep your minds open to. That's a little different than what we've done in the past. Now, what I'd like to present in just a couple minutes here is the curriculum for the 7th through 12th grade. And notice right in the middle of that slide it says proposed. The Henderson Church of Christ Bible School program, and this is a proposed program. Now, it's been planned thoroughly. It's been discussed with every adult class and the junior high class and the high school class nearly a year ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, because we wanted to involve them early on. We didn't go back and discuss the second time with anybody. We've kept this open. We haven't had a lot of fanfare about it, but we've been moving along systematically, very quietly, hopefully very thoroughly. And this is the program that would be a prototype not only for the 7th through 12th grade, but it would be a prototype of what we would do with the younger ones in terms of the elementary students and also with the cradle role. So that when a person enters the program as in the cradle, right at the very beginning, and goes through the entire program to the time that they graduate from high school, there's a course of study, there's a unit, there's a theme, there's something that we want to be able to measure in terms of having accomplished when it's finished. Now in 7th through 12th grade is unique. And we want to take a look at this group in term this part of the curriculum, our group of young people here, and assume that they need to retrench from the beginning of 7th grade through 12th grade. And there's an entire self-contained curriculum from 7th grade through 12th grade, and let me very rapidly walk through this. Now the proposal is, and it's a slightly different, but the change isn't for change's sake. Our youth group is growing so large that sometimes it's very difficult to even contain the students in one room, and that's fantastic. One of the things that we've learned about programs that grow is sometimes if we can separate a class, because there are some ideal sizes for classes, they begin to grow to that ideal size again. What we're proposing is to have the 7th and 8th grade together. We've already done that. What we're proposing is having the 9th and 10th graders together. We haven't done that. What we're proposing is the 11th and 12th graders together. That's a bit different than what we've done, but not so radically different that we can't handle it. Now, what I've done is I've taken the slide here. I think most of you are able to read quite a bit this, and it's a 2-year cycle, which means that we will know in detail what in a 7th and 8th grade class, what they'll be studying for a 2-year cycle. Let's take this slide with the 11th and 12th grade. We would have on Sunday morning a course of study and on Wednesday night a course of study. Two different courses of study. Typically, but not always, textual one time and topical the other. One young man, and I won't embarrass him because he's sitting right here in the first 6 rows, said, when I said, what suggestion could you give me about the high school curriculum that would improve the curriculum a lot? And he confided in me, and I'd like to share that with you. He said, basically, every time they get a new teacher, there's a high probability of the course being either don't do sex, don't do drugs, and don't drink. Well, that's some real good topics. But that's not the only thing that we ought to be teaching. And that's kind of like at the lower level, Moses, Moses, Moses. Sometimes we take a good topic and simply beat it to death. Now, we need to keep a number of things in front of all of us. But again, I think the wisdom of that young man speaks for itself. What I'd like to do, the elders are enthusiastic about this, is to begin the curriculum in 3 months. It'll take us 3 months now that we've planned this to gear up for it. And the existing teachers in the 7th through 12th grade will have their first choice. The people that are out there that want to continue to teach have the first opportunity to fill in the blanks. Then we're going to be tapping the shoulders of some people in the congregation who have particular skills in areas where we think that you as young people ought to have the luxury of having some other just dynamite people who teach to have them in, but not forever. And we think that's kind of important. One of the things that we'd like to do for 2 quarters, the first quarter and the second quarter on Sunday morning, is to have in a 2-part series, a 26-week series using Leroy Brownlow's book, Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ, as a course of study. And to buy that book for every student so that student will not only study that book, will have that in their library as a reference from then on. And we intend to do this with other courses. Now, the person that would teach that course would be a person who would also be gearing up for that, and with a 2-year cycle would know that the next time the next 2-year cycle comes around, that not only would they be teaching those 2 quarters out of Leroy Brownlow's book on Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ, but 24 months from now, I'll be doing the same thing again. Now, that person may or may not teach during the intervening time. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But what this means is the teachers who have the opportunity and rise to the occasion here of teaching something like the book of Romans will know that they'll not only teach that, an overview in a 13-week and a quarter kind of a situation, will continue to gather materials that we can submit purchase requisitions, if you want to put it in those kinds of terms, to add materials to the teacher center downstairs and to the library so that we can continue to support and to enrich the background of the teacher so that when they come back in and teach that again, that good course can be taught more. Now, some teachers will regularly teach. Some teachers will teach 1 quarter out of a 2-year cycle. A teacher might teach in the 11th and 12th grade 1 quarter and teach maybe one of the sections of the 7th and 8th grade.
will be utilizing staff differently, and it'll be a student-centered, a student-focused curriculum, something that basically we really haven't done an awful lot about, and I'm talking about in terms of the entire Brotherhood. This is a little bit smaller print, but then it gets to be a little bit more comprehensive. 11th to 12th grade, we've got a first year here, and we can down through the second year in each one of the quarters. Now, these are written in pencil, and some of this is subject to change. If a person is going to be teaching a course on Christian stewardship, the education committee and the elders may have a text. They may have some lessons that we'd like for that teacher to specifically teach. And we want to have lesson plans and have that recorded so that person can build on that particular program. But a high degree of flexibility within what that teacher does will give the teacher the objectives, sometimes even as specifically as these are the course titles, but then to rely on the good judgment of the people who staff those particular classes in the Bible school curriculum. Then each person will have a curriculum that's laid out in detail. And this is a copy, a draft, of what the 7th and 8th grade, what the proposal is for 2 years, each one of the quarters. The next one will be the 9th and 10th, each one of the quarters, each one of the years. Then the 11th and 12th. And there's some indications in here, some prototypes or some formats in terms of lesson planning and workshopping and those kinds of things that we do to support and to help the teachers move along. Now, I'd like to wind this up in just a few seconds, maybe a minute and a half. The reason I use the word proposed is this. We have taken more than 18 months, a number of us. I've had as much input as I think that we could handle, as much as we could process. We've talked, I believe, to every single group that's represented in a class other than getting all your parents together without you. And we didn't know whether or not we ought to do that. Maybe we should. Maybe we will. But that's the only group of people that we haven't specifically talked to as an entire group. However, we've talked to all the classes, and those folks, I believe, all the parents, at least were knowledgeable about this. We've had broad input. We've had an opportunity for most of the congregation I've just mentioned through the classes. This has been approved by the Education Committee and the elders. The Education Committee is excited about this, and the elders are not only supportive, but excited about this, of launching this particular type of program so that, in fact, our Bible school is a school. And there are things, there are outcomes that we can accomplish where we can measure those in terms of Bible knowledge, Bible attitudes, and Bible behaviors, and try to get into that. But it needs to be supported by the congregation. You can't launch a program that's going to, if you count up the number of courses of study between 7th grade and 12th grade, we're going to need a bunch, as we say in upstate New York, we're going to need a bunch of people to be involved. I don't want to lay a guilt trip on anybody. I don't think that in this case is particularly appropriate. But I would certainly encourage everyone to support this, and those of you who are able to teach, who have taught in the past, in a little bit, we're going to give you an opportunity to put your name on a piece of paper and give us an indication of the experience that you have. We'd like to have the existing teachers do this, as well as people who have taught, as well as people who would like to teach or assist or substitute. And to make this plan possible, there are two things. One is the role of the students. To launch this for the 7th through 12th grade, we need you guys' support. It's not going to work if you guys aren't enthusiastic about it. Now, it doesn't have to be boring. The teachers don't need to come unprepared. We don't need to be teaching you stuff. But we can present you vital information about the Bible that's useful and practical and something that relates to Bible knowledge, Bible attitudes, and the behaviors that already we're talking about, but in a unified sort of a way. Have the classes the size where it begins to lend itself to some kind of discussions. On some occasions, we'll have it divided where the girls will be together and the guys will be together, and sometimes they'll be together as they are. And it may not just be divided by gender on Sunday morning, but also the role of the adults. The reason this is proposed is because if we don't have the staff of people who are not teaching now to step forward and to volunteer to prepare and to take your rightful turn, the program is not going to work. So at this point, I want to tell you that I've got a vested interest in this, but I don't own the program. My objective is for the entire congregation to own this, because we can have not just a good Bible school program, and we have that, but we can have an exemplary program. The cost isn't in terms of money. The cost is in terms of people being willing to teach. We'll go into the details at another time in terms of a criteria for teachers. Basically, the pool of people that we want to draw are from those people who attend regularly at Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and those people in the congregation who already are committed to the Bible school program by either by teaching and being here regularly, already teaching, but when you're not teaching, also being a student. And it's from that pool of people within this congregation, the people who are constant and thorough and regular in their attendance, from that group of people, we want you to rise to the occasion. And it's up to you. And Bennett, that's up to you now.
I think you have to be impressed with the amount of work that's gone in to bring us to this point in this program that's been presented. I think this helps you to see just a little bit about what's going on in so many areas of work, in our work here, where people many times are here at the building the late hours of the night, and hours on Saturday and other times doing work that helps us to come to the point of being able to present this tonight. I want to also make the observation and share with you that though Ron has dealt mainly tonight with the 7th through the 12th grade and made reference to those grades that are before that, that there's also a great deal of effort being put to the classes for the college age and for the adults also. This is just an area that he was not discussing tonight. I know personally that hours have gone into planning for 3 classes that will be offered especially to the university students when they get here next week on Sunday morning. And, of course, on Wednesday nights, the service that will be at 5:30 this year, especially in their direction, and the classes at 7. And so efforts being made in all of these areas, and I believe we have a well-rounded Bible school program. We're trying to provide an opportunity for everyone to be involved and to learn. And I want to share with you for just a few minutes one verse of Scripture in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You've heard me say several times since I've been here how thankful we ought to be for the way this congregation is mission-minded. I'm thankful that we spend most of the time, near half of our budget, on mission work in the States and throughout the world. But you've heard me say, and I really believe this is important, that we must keep the head of the stream like it ought to be if we're going to be able to reach out. And our Bible study program is so important for us to do that. We must do the proper teaching. If you notice, there is a continuation here in this verse. Paul said, Timothy, I'm teaching you, and you teach others, and they teach others. Every generation has to be taught. And that's really what's being described tonight, is teaching each new generation to where they know what God's Word says and the importance of taking it to others. And this is why a program like this is involved. You notice the two words, the same, commit thou. What is it to commit? He says it's those things that we've heard among many witnesses. That which has been established is the Word of God. And we want our program to be the same in the sense that it's based on the Word of God. But notice the latter part of that verse. He said we've got to have people that are faithful and people that are able. And that's exactly what Ron's been saying for the last few minutes. Folks, there cannot be teaching unless we get the Word of God in the proper place where there's a teacher and there's the student. We've got to bring the student and the teacher together. God put His Word in earthen vessels. The book of Acts shows us that it was by the mouth of people that His Word was to be taught. Now we need to work all we can to get the students here. And you boys and girls that are here tonight, listen. You be here at every Bible class you can, and you be talking to the others that are your age and the others that live in your area. And you tell them about Sunday morning and Wednesday night and that we've got something that's important. Our young people are doing a good job of bringing other young people. Our teenagers are. We need to continue this. Let's get every student here. This morning there were some great classes taught here. But there are some people associated with this congregation who don't even know what the subjects were because they weren't here. We've got to get the people here, and then
Let me underscore what Ron was saying, and I cannot underscore this too much. We must have more people involved as teachers. Folks, we've got people sitting in the pew here week in and week out that are some of the most capable people I've ever seen. I don't know that there's a congregation anywhere that has more talent, percentage-wise, in the area of the ability to teach than the Henderson congregation. You've seen what the plans are. You've seen how that this has worked out to involve people, some on a short-term basis, some a little longer. And he's saying that to say that each of us can fit into this teaching program. We have some excellent Christian women here who are capable of teaching children and other women. I know you enjoy going to classes, and this is being worked out so that you can. But we need you in this. We have excellent men here, men who know the Bible. I realize there are men in this congregation who know much more than I do. And there are many of us who can teach God's Word. We've got to have faithful men. That means living it. You can't teach it if you don't live it. And those who are able with the ability to teach. And I believe we have a tremendous number that are able. A lot of work has gone into this. And I believe this Bible study program is going to help us grow as we bring in other young people and young adults and university students and others and involve them in it. But here are the two things that we must have in order for it to be successful. Well, really three. Number one is one we just almost assumed. It must be Bible-centered. But then in addition to that, we must get the students here. Think about the young people, children, who were not in a Bible class this morning, won't be in a Bible class Wednesday night. That's mission work. Think about the adults that you can invite and bring somebody with you. Bring one. That's where it is. And then more of us get involved in teaching. I hope that each one of you tonight who is capable of teaching one of these quarters and working with someone else maybe in one of the classes will let Ron know so that he'll have the pool from which to pull the teachers that are needed to teach in all of these classes. We need to stay with God's Word. Certainly want to do that. We need to bring every student that we can, and we need to involve every teacher that we possibly can. We must teach God's Word. And if we don't teach it in our setting here, we will not be able to go out and teach it in other places. This is one of the vital parts of our work, and we need to really underscore it. I want you to think about this and pray about it. Determine that you're going to be at every Bible class. Talk to those who are not coming. And adults, determine that you're going to be willing to help. Volunteer. Let him know so that you can be used. We need your talent. Who but knows that you can go into a class and teach some young people and influence them in a way that will influence the world later on. We are all needed in this. Faithful people who shall be able to teach others also. I believe the pulpit's important. I believe preaching the gospel as those of us who preach is important. But I'm not for sure, but that what we teach in our Bible classes, on the whole, when we take it all and add it up with all of the talent that's there and all that's being done, I'm not for sure that if it came down to a balance, that that's taught in our Bible classes is more important than what's even taught in the pulpit. I think it's a combination of both and this balance that he was talking about a few minutes ago. But as much as I love to preach and teach in a setting like this tonight, I'm well aware that some of our greatest work is done by you men and women in these classrooms, especially with these little ones, and teaching them the things that they need to know there. It is such a vital part. And I want you to know how much I appreciate it, and I believe God appreciates it. If we'll all get together and work together, we have the talent in this congregation to do just about anything that we want to within the boundary of God's Word, but to do anything that we want to. And Ron, there are two ways of volunteering. And we may be out talking to some of you and encouraging you to volunteer. Some of you may need a little push. I like to push. Some of you may need a little pull. I like to pull. Somebody said the other day I could get out more work than anybody they'd ever seen getting other people to do it. But it's not getting out of it. It's getting us all into it. And we need more good teachers. We've got them. We just need to get them in the harness and get them in the classroom and push this and be behind it. Ron, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks to our elders and deacons that are working in this area and all of you teachers. And just go home and think about this and pray about it and let Ron know about it. And let's all get involved. We've got something going in our work here. We've got many positive things. Today has been a great day. I told Judy last night, I said, tomorrow will be the lowest day we'll have this summer. I could name 100 people that are out of town. Look at our crowd this morning. I mean, whenever I've been more encouraged, and the presentation that's been given tonight is encouraging. We're doing things. We believe we're doing them the Bible way. We're doing them the way God wants them done. And you just cannot defeat people when they're doing things God's way. It'll work. And this is a vital part of our program. I want you to think about your relationship to God. With all that we talk about, you know, nothing's as important as your soul, or at least nothing's more important than your soul. Are you right with God? Are you a Christian who can not only teach in the classroom, but teach by your life? If you're not, you need to be baptized into Christ tonight and become a child of His, or there's something that you need to ask for our prayers, for the prayers of the church, for forgiveness and strength. If that's your need, won't you come as together we stand and sing. Entrance within.